Our last podcast was about borrowing money to pay for graduate school. This week, for our 40th episode, we will talk about making money, either while in school or after it, and hopefully being able to pay off those loans that you took out from last week's show. Welcome to Admission Straight Talk, Accepted's podcast about graduate admissions. I'm Linda Abraham, the founder of Accepted and the host of this podcast. I would also like to introduce two resources that have the post-school, post-B-school world as their focus. As anyone who listens to Admission Straight Talk knows, a good graduate school application and a good MBA application begins with a clear postgraduate school goal. Specifically, I would like to mention these free special reports for you. Number one, MBA Insight, focus on management consulting, and MBA Insight, focus on finance. You can find links to these resources in the show notes at info.accepted.com/40. And you don't have to rush there right now to get them. I'll repeat the URL. You don't have to jot it down madly at the moment. I will repeat the URL at the end of the show after we learn all about MBA Project Search. First, let me introduce our guest, Dan Mullaney. Dan got his undergraduate degree at Georgetown's McDonough School and then returned to McDonough for his MBA. While there, he started MBA Project Search, a business that matches businesses looking for interns, part-time employees, or temporary employees with those people who have the business skills they're seeking, and MBA students and recent grads who have those skills and want temporary, part-time, or remote work. I'm very excited to learn more about MBA Project Search, its origin, how it functions today, and how it can help soon-to-be students and professionals live the lives they want to lead. Dan, welcome to Admission Straight Talk. Thanks for joining me today.
Oh, my pleasure.
Okay. How did you come to found MBA Project Search?
Well, it was derived from just witnessing how skilled my classmates were. At the end of my experience at Georgetown, we had a global experience that required us to do some on-site consulting work for multinational corporations, and seeing what the education delivered in terms of the skills and what we were able to provide to these companies, I thought that there was a great opportunity to provide freelance work for MBAs and match them up with companies. And part of it was also I went to Georgetown to get my MBA because I ran a business, and I'll use the word run loosely. We raised some capital, but we had some execution issues, and so part of it was the realization that these MBA students could have provided me quite a bit of help, and I couldn't afford it at that time, a top consultant and the fee that accompanies a top consultant, but certainly someone with a less experienced profile as would certainly have been someone that I could have been able to afford and certainly would have been very helpful in us executing.
There are several companies, I was just doing a little research before the show, that offer similar kind of job boards or temporary job boards aimed at professionals and MBAs. What distinguishes MBA Project Search from some of those other entities? What's its unique value?
They're definitely, it's an expanding marketplace. The whole freelance MBA community is certainly burgeoning. And there are some companies that have been around a little bit longer, and then there are some that have been around not quite as long, and we're kind of grouped in the not as long category with Hourly Nerd and SkillBridge. And MBA & Co. was founded a little before we were, so we're somewhere in between in terms of when we were founded. I would say the main difference that we have had thus far in comparison to the other ones that are in this space is simply by the type of opportunity that we have. And I think that they would say that they have the same differentiation. I think all of those sites provide valuable resource to MBAs. And I actually typically refer MBAs to the other sites too, because at the end of the day, it's about matching someone up. And so I would say that it's really just a matter of what opportunities are there. And just to kind of give you a for instance about where we kind of fit in the opportunity profile, we're all over the map, and I think that's probably how we're a little different. We actually just helped place a CEO at a publicly traded company.
Uh-huh.
We also did, on the other side of the spectrum, we helped form a team of five MBAs to help a mining company get off the ground in Tanzania in an equity share situation.
Wow.
So we're all over the map in terms of what's available. So we kind of have, like our little saying goes, MBAs for every opportunity and opportunities for every MBA. So I think that's kind of what makes us a little different.
Okay. I mean, I did notice when I was on the site that there was an enormous variety of opportunities and postings. And one of the things I noticed was that it seemed that many of them at this point in time did not even require an MBA. Some of them don't require a graduate degree. I think they all wanted a college degree, at least all that I saw. Has the focus of MBA project search changed in that regard, and is the name somewhat of a misnomer today?
No, not at all. In fact, I would say that even if you went on Indeed or Monster or any of those job boards, a lot of times you'll see on the job posting that a graduate degree is preferred and not required. So I don't see any difference there. I just think that there might be, it's just the way that the profile is actually written. So I think at the end of the day, those postings do prefer an MBA, but that doesn't necessarily mean that one's required.
Got it. Okay. So in other words, the focus still is MBAs at MBA Project Search, but it may not be required. Is that true?
Sure. That's pretty much it. And the truth is, what's going to come from us, I mean, 99.9% of our audience do have MBAs. So I would say an MBA would stand out in regard to any application, especially if that particular posting is in multiple spots. And those spots actually are bringing in non-MBA candidates. So I wouldn't say it's a misnomer at all.
Okay. Are you planning to expand MBA Project Search into other professional areas, you know, engineering, law, healthcare, whatever?
Well, I would say in terms of what's available functionally, I would say we're kind of touching a little bit of everything. One of our earlier projects, earlier meaning October of 2012, we helped with an ICD-10 healthcare consulting project. Mm-hmm. So I would say that in terms of what we have and what we go after, I would say we're kind of non-discriminatory in that respect. If you're questioning whether we might actually go from, you know, having an MBA to not having an MBA or something of that sort in terms of who would be available in the network, I would say the closest thing that we've done to that is we did partner with an MBA admissions consultancy, and we do have a category called MBA admits. There aren't too many people there in that category because we really don't have too much opportunity that's unique to that base of people. We do have an outlet, and we do have, I guess it's better to say we have a channel of MBAs who've been admitted to an institution but have not begun their matriculation period. So right. I think that's probably as far afield as we'll go.
Okay. All right. Is there a typical job or job seeker on MBA Project Search? I saw enormous variety, and you mentioned enormous variety in, you know, your earlier response. Is there any common denominator that you see?
No. None whatsoever.
Okay.
And we have everyone from a first-year MBA student to somebody who can fill a top-level CEO position. So I would say that there isn't really a typical candidate that's in our database.
Yeah, there's no prototype.
No.
No. Because, I mean, I saw temporary jobs. I saw part-time jobs. I saw remote work. Consulting gigs, really tremendous variety, which is what you alluded to earlier.
Yeah, we don't want to turn down any opportunity if it's suitable to the crowd. And you know, sometimes that's a decision that has to be made. But for the most part, it's one that we simply allow. And if it gets traction, it gets traction. If it doesn't, it doesn't. And even for stuff that doesn't necessarily pay anything up front, but might provide other types of opportunity to the MBA, such as an equity share or something, you know, of that nature, you're going to have a different person that fills that type of position.
So oh, yeah.
Not only is the position not going to necessarily be prototypical, but also the person who fills that position.
Right, right. Yeah, I also saw tremendous variability in salaries there. I saw somebody asking, you know, for $20 an hour, a project prospective employer asking for $20 an hour, and I saw other salaries that seemed to be well into six figures. So, like I said, I think you hit the nail on the head, at least from my very brief perusal. It's a tremendous variation there, diversity.
Yeah.
Now, I noticed that it's...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. It's free to post... Oh. Projects or opportunities for businesses, and it's free for job seekers to use. So how is MBA Project Search going to make money?
So it's free for businesses for us to provide the connection, and it's free for MBAs to peruse those connections and to apply.
Uh-huh.
So where the fee actually comes in is if someone secures a position through us,
yes,
then we do take a 10% finder's fee.
Got it. Okay, that makes sense. That makes sense.
So we'll do all the placement legwork. If it doesn't work out for one party or another, no one's on the hook for anything. So there's a lot of free activity that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
But if there is a connection that is made and the connection is made to the point of payment, that's when we also get paid too.
Great. Approximately how many people used MBA Project Search, let's say, in 2013?
Well, I could give you an idea of the size of the existing database, if that's what
okay.
you're asking.
Okay. I'm looking for some sense of size, yeah.
I would say that we're awfully close to 10,000 consultants in
wow.
the database.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. And most of these consultants are 1 to 5 years after an MBA, 5 to 10 or more in the MBA.
It's hard to actually guess because we don't collect a whole lot of profile information. But based on what I've seen, at least I could kind of give you an anecdotal answer to that.
Okay.
I would guess that it's roughly 70% in favor of graduates with at least 3 years experience.
Got it.
And then the other 30% are mostly students or someone who just graduated.
Okay. And so do you feel that there's a significant percentage of students who are juggling the full-time course load and at least some work?
That's correct.
Okay. And what is the process that a job seeker using MBA Project Search will go through?
Well, so we changed our business model recently. So there's a lot of what I call legacy activity and processes still in place,
mm-hmm.
And there are some of the new processes in place. So what we used to be is what I call a post and wait job board, a typical conventional job board where you have a business posting on one side, MBAs apply on the other, and the site is completely hands-off. So whoever gets what, and that's just how it was. We moved it more to what's really kind of standard these days. If you look at the other consulting sites, they do extract a fee for fulfilled projects. And we actually started out that way back in September of 2012, or August of 2012, and we moved away from that because we were more concerned about building both audiences, and that meant providing free services on both sides. But now we have that posting aspect still there where MBAs can apply to existing posts. And then we do a lot of matching activity on our end. So there are a lot of times where posts don't even make it to the actual job board. Someone will come to us and say, I need this. And we simply go out and we know who we want to reach out to. And so we do a lot of that. So it's kind of a little bit of both. I would say the standard way is you sign up, and then you apply to what you want to, and then sometimes we find you.
So it seems like this, like you were saying, there's a lot of human intervention there. It's not just, you know, computerized matchmaking, and it's not just the finder or the job seeker looking for the right job. It's there's a real matchmaker in the middle there. Is that correct?
I would say in a lot of instances that's correct.
Mm-hmm. Can you shed some more light on that? I mean, are you like actively reviewing both so that you can play that almost an agent role? I guess is the best way to describe it.
I have a good idea of what types of positions certain applicants have applied for in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And I've worked with certain people in the database before, and so some of the matchmaking takes place simply because I've worked with certain people in the past, and I know that they're just a good fit. Other times, a simple search of database can reveal certain things, like certain people that are good for certain projects, whether it be because someone needs on-site work, and we need to locate someone according to geography. So there are certain ways that we can actually kind of pare down the process for someone. And the truth is, if you go to any job board and someone posts something, you also have to get someone on the other end who's a good fit to apply to it. And if that doesn't happen, you're not going to fill that position. Or you might fill it, but it might not be filled appropriately so. So a matchmaker does make sense in a lot of instances, simply because if you're relying on this kind of conventional job board type activity, you might not get the right person to fill the job.
Right. It's true. What do you see in the future for MBA Project Search?
We're going to continue building out this business model and continue expanding our team and see where things go. It's definitely an expanding marketplace. I think in terms of the freelance kind of, you know, micro job, part-time contract work, I think there's a lot of reason to believe that that's going to continue to expand, and
yeah.
So we're hoping that we'll be part of that movement.
I definitely agree with you. When you started at McDonough, now I'm talking about for your MBA, did you intend to start your own business while there? I mean, I think you basically said yes, but that was part of the reason you went back, or what did you have in mind?
Part of the reason I went back is because I failed as a business owner before.
Okay.
I was actually a philosophy major in college, and I had no experience in business, and I didn't know any fundamentals. And I saw how we had a great opportunity with my first business that we squandered simply because we didn't bring it to market soon enough. And so part of my goal as an MBA student, or going back to get my MBA, was to kind of fill in what I considered self-information gaps. So I didn't necessarily have in mind that I wanted to be an entrepreneur, but I always felt as though I had to start something, and the question was what was it going to be? And so, yeah, I guess you could say that I wanted to be, but it wasn't necessarily the goal or the expectation.
Right, right. And looking back on your MBA education, do you believe it has been irrelevant, useful, or indispensable to you in launching, funding, and running MBA Project Search?
I would say useful in regard to everything except for funding, because that's not something that we've attained at this point. I would say, you know, the inspiration of my fellow students and what they were able to do what led to the founding of the business. So to say anything less than an MBA degree just would be inaccurate. And just personally speaking, I would say, I learned my lesson in terms of bringing something to market, because I graduated in May and, you know, August rolled around and I was ready to go. So I would say there was a big variance between how I did things before the MBA and how I did things after. So, yeah, I would consider it indispensable.
Okay, sounds good. So clearly you were happy you went and got the MBA.
Certainly.
Okay. And do you have any tips for MBA applicants, especially those coming from a non-business or non-technical background, and those who might think that they want to start their own business at some point in the future?
Coming from a non-business background, I would say it's difficult, but it's not as daunting as you might believe it to be. So I wouldn't hesitate to go get the degree because you don't think that you have the right academic background to be able to do it. So I guess my philosophy would be the same for both starting a business and getting an MBA, which is just go ahead and do it.
Okay, and that's from somebody who studied philosophy. You know, have a philosophy. I think we're out of time. Dan, how can our listeners learn more about MBA Project Search?
I'm sorry, what?
How can listeners learn more about MBA Project Search?
Oh.
What's the URL?
A very simple question. Just visit the URL. It's mbaprojectsearch.com. If you Google us, I'm sure you'll find a ton of information about the site. So you can do either or both.
All right, and I'll also include a link in the show notes. And again, the URL for the show notes is info.exhibit.com/40. Dan, thank you so much again for joining me here today and sharing MBA Project Search's story and journey. I'll link to MBA Project Search as well as to the free downloads that I mentioned earlier in the show notes. And again, the URL for that is info.exhibit.com/40. Listener, thank you, too, for joining us for our 40th episode. As always, please share your feedback. 5-star reviews on iTunes are particularly welcome. You can leave any kind of feedback on iTunes, the blog, or by emailing linda@exhibit.com. And if you're not yet a subscriber, you can subscribe either through iTunes, Stitcher, or Zoom. This is an Admission Straight Talk produced by Accepted, and I am your host, Linda Abraham. I'll talk to you again next week.
Provided by podcastthemes.com.